You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Happy New Year, everybody. This is what we wanted, isn't it? 2016 in the rearview mirror. 2016, a terrible, horrible, awful year that we all hated and despised. 2016 that took Bowie and Prince and Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds and so many other people we loved from us and is going to put someone on top of us that most of us, a majority of Americans, did not vote for. And most Americans, according to popularity polls, loathe and despise. So happy New Year. This is what we wanted. Let's get rid of 2016. Let's get 2017 underway. You know, ever since November 8th, 9th, whenever anybody told me that they were so ready for 2016 to be done, they just wanted this year over with, I thought, no, we should savor every fucking moment of 2016. We should savor even every celebrity death in 2016. We should savor every fucking moment that we have a sane president of the United States and a competent, scandal-free administration. Really, the last 8 years, the Obama administration, thinking back, the only scandal that leaps to mind is somebody snuck into a state dinner and somebody in the East Wing got fired. That's it. That's the scandal of the Obama administration, besides, of course, the bullshit scandals ginned up by 17,000 Republican investigations. No, the only real scandal was that one. Scandal-free. We're going to miss him. I'm going to miss him. He was a better president, we all know now, than this country deserved. So, yeah, 2016 is over, and we are staring down the double barrels of 2017. So, enjoy your healthcare, folks, while you have it. Enjoy the air while you can still breathe it. Support your kids' public schools while they still exist. Enjoy that untainted food, safe prescription medicine, and clean energy while we have them. And enjoy the diverse communities in which you live before Trump's deportation force swoops in and fucks up that too. And remember, this is what we all wanted. Well, not really. This is not what a Trump administration is not what we all wanted. Not by a long shot. Not by the votes of a majority of the American people. This is not what anyone wanted. But everyone seemed to agree that they wanted 2016 over with, in the rearview mirror, get this anus horribilis done and gone. But me, I'm going to miss 2016. I'm going to miss Barack Obama being president of the United States, and I'm going to miss that feeling we had for most of 2016 when we didn't believe Donald Trump could possibly win the GOP nomination, to say nothing of the White House. But we were wrong, and here we are, feeling like a germaphobe trapped under a rim seat. Looking on the bright side, trying to be positive, we're not going to get to January 2021 until we get through 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, and the presidential election year 2020. So let's get this shit started. Let's get 2017 underway. Let's get Orange Julius Caesar sworn the fuck in so we can get Orange Julius Caesar, if not impeached in the next 4 years, voted the fuck out in 2020 when we will right this wrong. Coming up today on this show, tons of your questions to kick off the New Year's with a bunch of sex advice. And we have a very special guest, Nancy Hartunian, my producer, who everybody loves when she comes on the show, but she will come on the show only very rarely, actually comes on the show today to field two questions with me that you are going to enjoy on today's show. Today's Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Me Undies, high quality, super comfortable, good looking undies. Get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/savage. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron delivers all fresh, high-quality ingredients and recipes you need to create delicious home-cooked meals. Get your first three meals for free by going to blueapron.com/savage. This episode of the Lovecast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage using your own computer and your own printer. For a special offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 worth of free postage, go to Stamps.com and enter Savage.
Hello, Mr. Savage. I'm a 45-year-old single male. I have a question for you about my 21-year-old niece. She has posted pictures on Instagram recently showing her in just underwear and sometimes no bra, but hiding her nipples with little emoticons or stickers or things. Alone, posing in a sexy way, or with a friend of hers, female friend. I did not see this because I'm not on Instagram much. My wife pointed this out to me. And my question for you is, she posted these pictures after breaking up with a boyfriend. And my wife's take on it is that she's brokenhearted, she's upset, and she's looking for attention or gratification by posting these pictures so her friends can say how great she looks. They're not the most appropriate for a young person, but I don't really want to pass judgment on it, and I feel the best thing to do is just not do anything. But my wife thinks that as the uncle who she relates to in some ways, that I should say something about it. So what do you think? I should add that she is kind of ostracized from my sister's family because she's not Mormon. She was kind of forced into Mormonism growing up, and when she became older and left the house, she got some tattoos and kind of went on her own path, and I've kind of been her advocate in the past. So what do you think? Should I say anything to her, give her some advice somehow without sounding judgmental or not coming across as a lecture, or just stay out of it?
Your niece is 21 years old. She is an adult. She is an adult who lives on her own and has boyfriends and has breakups and has an Instagram account and has tattoos. And you should butt the fuck out. That's what you should do. You should stay the fuck out of it. You should be there for your niece, talk to your niece, keep those lines of communication open. And if she asks you questions about the way she's representing herself on social media, you could then perhaps share your opinion. But to give your niece a call or to rush in and let her know that your wife, who follows her on Instagram and perhaps should unfollow her on Instagram, feels that these pictures that she's sharing may be coming from blah, 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 bad place because she just got broke up. She's seeking attention. Of course she's seeking attention. Everyone on fucking Instagram is seeking attention. And there are a lot of people on Instagram who show a little bit of skin. It's a thing. It's a thing that people her age, some people older, some people I know personally, some people I live with personally, they do on Instagram. And it's fine. And it's not necessarily a problem. It can create problems if somebody wants to be a school teacher or the future junior senator from Montana or something. Pictures like that can certainly come back to haunt you. But I dream of a future coming soon where so many people have dirty pictures circulating online, sex that got into the wild, or their own Instagram photos that there's no longer any stigma or a price that people are going to have to pay for these pictures existing online out in the wild because everybody has them. Just like everybody has basically smoked pot, so it's not that big an issue whether you've ever smoked pot before. In the future, everybody's going to have a few of these pictures running around online, so it's not going to be that big a deal. And your niece is helping to get us to that place sooner by sharing these pictures. So I would butt the fuck out. The only thing that I might say if I were in your position, if I had slightly paternal feelings toward a niece of mine, is maybe privacy settings. Maybe you want to make sure that Instagram is invite only because you wouldn't want malicious people or trolls finding their way to your Instagram account, or ex-boyfriends who may be angry finding a way to your Instagram account and leveraging these pictures now when there is still a stigma and they can actually still do harm against you. So a word not shutting her down about her self-presentation, but a word about curating her own followers to make sure that she knows who she is so presenting herself for.
Hi, Dan. I'm a straight female living on the West Coast, and I've been with my boyfriend for the past 2 years. And so there is this incident that happened months ago, and I'm having a really hard time getting over it. Well, we were at this family gathering, and this is his family's gathering, and it was a laser tag event, and which is not my thing, nor do I even know the specifics on how to play it. But I was a good sport, and I participated anyway. And anyway, so it was dark and everyone was running around hiding from each other. And then I tagged his cousin's husband in the game, essentially putting him out briefly, who I don't even really know very well at all. and he completely just screamed in my face. I mean, like, really screamed in my face and called me a fucking blindsiding bitch. Don't know what that means, but obviously this is not okay. And honestly, I didn't know what to do, because if this were some random person, I would just handle it accordingly. But because I was around his entire family, I was just shocked. And I ran away in the game and waited till afterwards to tell my boyfriend what happened. All he could say was, wow, that's weird. And the guy that yelled at me left shortly after. It was just unbelievable. It caught me off guard, and the guy obviously has issues. So I relayed my feelings about this to my boyfriend, about how it really upset me that he didn't say anything to this guy or stand up for me in any way. He just said sorry, and we ended up dropping it. So fast forward to a couple months later, my boyfriend had another opportunity to confront this guy at another family gathering, and so he could just stand up for me, which is what I want and what I told him that I wanted, and he didn't do it again. So I got upset again, and it just keeps coming up in dumb random arguments because I hold it against them. It's been about 9 months since the initial incident, and I just feel like it's too late for him to say anything to this guy without me looking like a complete psychopath. I know I will have to see this guy again in other family events if I continue being with my boyfriend, and feelings will be brought up again, potentially another argument. So what do I do? How do I let this get past me? Do I let it go? Because it's preventing me from wanting to move forward in this relationship, as I feel my boyfriend is failing to stand up for me. He's a great partner otherwise, and I would hate for this to ruin our relationship.
I wish you'd left a phone number, because I want to call and ask you what's preventing you from confronting this asshole cousin yourself. What's preventing you from... I understand what prevented you from confronting him in the moment, because you were the one who was blindsided. And assholes in family environments, assholes at Christmas, asshole at wakes and funerals, assholes at weddings, are often freer to be assholes than people are to correct them, because they have no respect for decorum or deportment or the feelings of others. And the person who is on the receiving end of shitty treatment from an asshole relative in an environment like that does care about how people feel and doesn't want to make an awkward situation more awkward for everyone. So someone who would do that to you, they're being inconsiderate. And what happens in that moment is the person who's on the receiving end of the bullshit is a considerate person and takes into consideration the feelings of others and not wanting this awkward moment to snowball into some super awkward confrontation. But then you go away angry and you sit on it and you went to your boyfriend. And generally, I'm on the side of people running interference with their own relatives. You know, you're a newish girlfriend, only 2 years. You're not unaware of these family dynamics. You're not aware of how wide a berth people cut for this asshole. And so you went to the boyfriend and said, this is not okay. This bothered me. Can you do something about it? And he's not doing something about it. So now it's up to you to go to the asshole cousin the next time you see him and say, hey, remember laser tag? Remember when you called me a blindsiding bitch? I really think you owe me an apology for that, because it's stuck in my craw. I still think about it. Every time I see you, that's what I think about. And I don't think going forward, if, you know, we become relatives by marriage, that we want this, you and I, either of us want this to be the first thing I think about every time I have to lay eyes on you. So I'm willing to chalk it up to the heat of the moment and some sexist bullshit and write it off if you're willing to apologize. Stick up for yourself. Obviously, your boyfriend either doesn't understand how upset you are about this. Maybe you've downplayed it. Or maybe he's just not going to confront his cousin. Maybe that's not how he rolls with his family. And if you do indeed marry him and you guys are in it for the long fucking haul, you're going to be the one that has to run interference with his family and defend yourself from his family if this cousin isn't the only shitty person in his family. If that's a deal breaker for you, if that's a price of admission that you are unwilling to pay to be with someone who is so passive that he would allow his family members, by marriage or blood, to be shitty to you without getting in their faces, then maybe you shouldn't build a life with this guy. Can we stop talking about sex for like 1 minute and talk about food? Because I'm going to take a break right now to pitch Blue Apron to you people, and I'm going to pitch it hard. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And each week they send a box to us, a box that we pay for. We are paying customers with all the ingredients we need to make fresh, tasty meals. Terry cooks them, I eat them, then I do the dishes. And these meals are delicious without fail. Their menus change all the time. For instance, this week they are offering spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes, seared chicken and couscous, and roasted cauliflower pitas. And that's just a few of the meals they have lined up. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/savage. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. That's blueapron.com/savage. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Hi, I'm a mid-40s woman in a small town in Oregon, calling because my boyfriend, who I love very much, although we haven't been together that long, I was out of town for work and family matters, which took me out of town for almost a month. And unbeknownst to me, almost the whole time I was gone, my boyfriend began binging on meth and having unprotected sex with men from Craigslist in my apartment, in my bed. He would shoot up, the guy would smoke it, other men would come over and bring him K or Coke, he'd exchange blowjobs. He recorded himself having gay sex in my bed. He was jerking off to the videos. He was having threesomes with men at the other man's house. They showered together. They were all over everything of mine. I found out just snooping on a gut instinct, and what I found was just beyond my wildest imagination. And he denied until I put the series of text messages from the man in his face. Things like, when you come over, I'll have the door unlocked and I'll be in the bedroom. There might be a random third guy show up. Making references to the hot loads that he deposited. Anyway, everything, anything that you could imagine. He is just crushed and destroyed and feels worse than awful, which is just as, you know, better than he should feel, I think. But is, you know, incredibly apologetic, wants to work it out, has bought me a new bed. We're seeking counseling. He's seeking counseling. He was unfortunately taken advantage of by his stepfather as a child, and I don't think he's ever really worked through that. He's had encounters with men before that he told me about the very first when we first met, and has a section for transsexuals, which I was willing to, all of this I was willing to work with. Now he would like to reestablish something, get a relationship to a better place. I don't know. I'm still in shock. I don't know what to really do. I know that I should probably just dump the motherfucker already. I love him so much, and I still have so many questions that I can't just push him out, because then I just sit in silence and my mind just races as my heart breaks more. So I don't really know what to do or where to go. So I'm hoping you can help.
Yours is a good example of what I call retroactively permissible snooping. People, every once in a while, I smile on snooping. Somebody snoops and I'm like, well, okay, snooping is understandable. It's an understandable impulse. There's all these opportunities now to snoop laying around because people have phones and text messages and Instagram accounts and DMs and all the rest of that crap. And snooping is not okay, officially, not okay. And everyone has a right to privacy and some autonomy. That said, every once in a while, somebody snoops and they find out shit that they not only might want to know, but absolutely positively have a right, a pressing right to know. This person that you're in a relationship with, this man with whom you live, is having meth-fueled sex binges with random men that he's meeting on the internet, and a lot of them, and taking their loads. You, as his partner, male, female, or whatever, you have a right to know. You have a right to know that that's going on. You have a need to know that that's going on so that you could protect yourself from the danger that he was placing you in. So, your call, good example of snooping that is retroactively permissible based on what is found. That said, of course, snooping is never okay. All right, what do you do about this guy? I think you DTMFA. I don't think this is a place that you can come back from very easily. Yeah, he has things he needs to work through. He needs to work on this, and I think he should go work on this on his fucking own and for himself, not to win you back. You are not the stuffed animal at the fair that he's going to win if he knocks down all the milk bottles for his own sake. He needs to repair whatever damage that he has. He needs to get to a place where he can act on his sexual desires for men or women or trans women or whatever he's attracted to and whoever he's attracted to without meth and without deceit and without lies and without endangering other people, without endangering his partners, his future partners. This is a bed shitting that cannot be unshat, in my opinion. I don't think you will ever get to a place where you can trust him again because you caught him. You snooped and found all of this out. And at first he denied, denied, denied. And then when you presented him with proof, not only that he did these things, but proof that you knew that he was lying to you, then he was crushed, destroyed, and felt worse than awful. And only then. Up and until that point, he was just going to power through, just going to deceive you so that the next time you had to go out of town for whatever, family emergency, business, whatever, he would do this again. He was holding that in reserve, the ability, the freedom to do this again. So yeah, no, DTMFA. And he needs to go into therapy. And one of the things he needs to carry with him into therapy is what this cost him. It cost him you. It cost him a really great and terrific relationship. You are part of helping him hit bottom so that he works on this. Losing you is part of helping him hit bottom. There are other dudes out there. You can and should get on with your life. Who knows? Without you, hopefully he will get into therapy. Hopefully he will work on this. Hopefully he will do the repair with the assist of a good counselor or therapist that he needs done. And maybe in 5 years, 2.5 years, 5 years, 7.5 years, 10 years, maybe you guys will run into each other again and he'll be in a much healthier place. And you could pick up then if you are not with someone else. My hope for you, though, is that you will be with someone else at that point and soon. Underwear. It's the first thing you put on in the morning and the last thing you take off at night. Or if you're lucky, it's the last thing your partner takes off for you at night. And why would you want to settle for anything less than the best feeling underwear on the planet? MeUndies focuses exclusively on producing the most comfortable underwear you've ever experienced. My friends at MeUndies sent me a few pairs a while back, and now I can't imagine wearing anything else, and I've ordered myself a few more pairs on my own dime. For the price of two cocktails, MeUndies will deliver your new favorite pair of underwear right to your doorstep. Try them on, and if they aren't the most comfortable, best-feeling underpants you have ever had, they will refund you and let you keep that first pair for free. MeUndies are made with Modal, a special fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. These uber cozy undies are sold exclusively on the MeUndies website, where you'll enjoy free shipping in the U.S. and Canada. And for a limited time, everyone in my audience gets 20% off their first order, but you have to go to our special URL, MeUndies.com/savage. With the MeUndies Better Day Guarantee, you have nothing to lose, so don't wait any longer. You are listening to a sex podcast. Sex is important to you, and underpants, underwear, they are important to sex. People are often sexier in their underwear with something on than they are out of their underwear. You know it's true, and you want to wear underwear that makes you feel sexy, and MeUndies can do that. Go to MeUndies.com/savage right now for 20% off your first order. That's MeUndies.com/savage.
Hello, Dan. I'm a 29-year-old bisexual man, new listener and a new caller. I've been in a 4-month relationship with a new woman, and I've been open to her about my bisexuality from the start. She's been more than accepting of it, and we've had some fun pillow talk about the things I've done and the things we could possibly explore as a couple. She's open to the idea of bisexual three-ways and other fun things as long as it's a couple. She's not open to the idea of open relationships. which I can expect. She also wants to focus on us first, creating a connection together before we go and invite someone into our relationship, which I can also expect. Well, we are creating a fantastic love connection, a really good relationship, but we've only been dating for 4 months, but the longer I hold off on my desire for other men, the more I also lose my sexual attraction towards her. I feel like a big part of my drive was exploring and the kinky fun. And the longer we, quote unquote, work on us, the more I feel like it damages our sexual relationship. I don't know how to approach this to her because I don't want to pressure her into doing something she's not ready for, or maybe she's not even interested in anymore. I would like to bring up the idea of an open relationship, even though I already strongly supported the idea that we didn't need to do so. I didn't know if maybe she'd be more accepting of it if I told her that I only wanted to date other men. So I don't know where to go from here. I really am starting to care about her, and I don't want to lose her, but I also don't want to scare her away by being too forward.
First, I want to heap praise on you for being out to your female partner about being bisexual. That is tremendous. And a lot of guys similarly situated, guys with girlfriends, guys who are bi, guys with histories with men, aren't out. And it's a huge problem. And it's not just bi guys being deceitful. That's not what I'm saying. It is a culture that doesn't create a space for bi guys to be open about who they are without being unfairly judged and stigmatized by their partners. That, however, does not free bi people from the responsibility of being honest about who they are with their partners, because that shit ain't never going to change until more bi people are out to their partners at the end of sermon. All right, what do you do about your girlfriend? You say you don't want to pressure her into doing something that she doesn't want to do or that she's not ready for. On the other hand, you have been pressured into doing something that you don't want to do. You have agreed to a closed relationship for the time being, and that time is up to her. How long this relationship is going to be closed is entirely up to her. Seems to me that you need to go to her and say, it's been 4 months, and I've learned a little bit about myself in this relationship, being in a closed relationship. And what I've learned is that it's not for me. And what I've learned is that what's on offer, that maybe at some point down the road we could have the occasional threesome with another dude, that's also not, I think, ultimately what I want or what I would be happy with. I want an open relationship. I want the freedom to date other guys and be with you at the same time, or be with the woman that I am with in the future at the same time. I would like that woman to be you. But if that's not what you would want, if that's not the kind of relationship that you would want to be in, maybe what we both know now is that we're not destined to be together, that we aren't a good match sexually. I want to be with somebody that I can have sexual adventures with. I also want to be with somebody who allows me to have sexual adventures, perhaps even relationships with other men on my own. And I want, of course, to allow the person that I'm with to have those same freedoms that I am asking for and that I would like to have. And what I've come to learn in the 4 months we've been together, I kind of require. And you can say that without laying blame, without recrimination, without anger. You've learned something about yourself over the course of these 4 months, this time that you've spent with her, time you're grateful to have spent with her, good time that you've spent with her. You can mention that you're worried about how this is cratering your desire for her, because right now, and I think this is legit, and I think you can make this point, right now she's coming to symbolize to you not sexual possibility, not sexual adventure, not sexual freedom. She's coming to symbolize to you frustration, denial, which you can't have. Every moment that you spend deprived of dick in relationship with her is just causing you to look at her and see all the reasons you can't have some dick right now. And you're bi and you're needing some dick. You'd like some fucking dick right now. There are plenty of bi people out there in long-term committed monogamous relationship with opposite sex or same-sex partners, and they are capable of honoring those monogamous commitments. You aren't one of those guys, though. You aren't one of those bi guys who's going to be capable of honoring that monogamous commitment over the long haul. You, because you know yourself, you know that you need her. If it's going to be her in your life, you need a partner, but you also need dick. And you don't want to be in a position where you resent your partner and lose feeling or attraction to your partner, because being with her means no dick for you. So her and dick, or someone else and dick, but not what you've got right now with her. And you're just going to have to be honest and direct. Looking to make a resolution for New Year's that you'll actually keep and benefit from keeping? Well, we've got an easy one for you. To maximize every minute and dollar for your small business, there's an easy way to do that, an easy resolution to get on and get with stamps.com. Think about how much time you've wasted over the years going to the post office. Drive there, find parking, wait in line. Stamps.com is the better way to get postage. Just use what you already have at home, your computer and your printer, to get official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then the mailman picks it up at your door. With Stamps.com, everything you would do at the post office, you can do right from your desk and at a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Savage, for this special offer, a 4-week trial plus $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. It's a new year. Get on it. Go to stamps.com. And before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. Click the mic and enter Savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 20-year-old gay male attending university in the Pacific Northwest, and I have a question about a guy I've been seeing lately. For about 6 months, I've been regularly hooking up with a closeted 25-year-old grad student who initially informed me he was only interested in casual sex. That was okay with me since I didn't really want to be in a relationship with someone in the closet, but his recent behavior is kind of making me reconsider. See, whenever we hook up, he always begs me to stay after and we end up talking for hours. We have really serious conversations about each other's lives that feel meaningful and productive for me. And lately, I've been staying over at his house after sex, and he frequently cooks for me. Both mention how much we enjoy spending time together, and it's making me realize that I have a huge crush on him. The problem is that despite being extremely affectionate with me in private, he literally pretends I do not exist when we run into each other on our mid-sized campus. Even if he's completely alone, he'll look straight through me and keep going. If he was around other people when I saw him, I wouldn't find it a problem. But it seems a little dramatic that his whole closeted life would be called into question by simply saying hello back when we see each other. I've expressed my feelings about this to him, and he says it's just too risky to acknowledge me at all. I don't get it. I know I got myself into this mess and that a relationship in most capacities is out of the question. He's not coming out, and I'm not going to try and make him to. I just want to know, what do I do now? I obviously have feelings for him, but I don't know how to kind of manage them and keep them in check. Since I enjoy his company so much and also find him pretty attractive, how do I keep hooking up with this closeted faggot without letting my feelings for him get in the way? Please help.
If you liked this guy, fine. If you enjoyed spending time with him, if you enjoyed having sex with him, but you didn't have feelings for him, you weren't romantically attracted to him, you didn't fantasize about what could be if he was a fucking grown-up and came out of the goddamn closet and stopped playing games, then maybe you could continue to be his dick on call and his behind closed doors fuck buddy. But you have feelings for him. And this is how he treats you in public. This is where you're going to get hurt, because you are falling for this guy who is one human being to you when the doors are closed and the shades are drawn, and who is a completely different and utterly shitty human being to you out in public on your campus. There's only so long you're going to be able to have feelings for this guy and be treated like shit by this guy in public before you are wounded, before it's not funny anymore. So you have to end this. You have to go to this dude and say, I like you. In fact, I'm catching feelings for you, which is why I'm not going to see you anymore. You need to grow the fuck up. You need to come the fuck out, because you're never going to have love in your life. You're never going to have a serious long-term relationship or any sort of romantic connection of whatever duration, so long as you're playing this game, because grown-up, adult, queer people will not pay this price to be with you. They will not be hidden anymore, because adults will not date people for long who treat them like some dirty little secret that has to be hidden away I am no one's dirty little secret. You know what I am right now? If we go forward, if I keep sucking your dick, if you keep sucking my dick, if I keep fucking your ass, you know what we are? We are boyfriends. And I have a right to my lived experience. And this is what you say to him at the end. I have a right to my lived experience. I have a right to confide in whoever I want to confide in about who I'm dating and who I'm seeing. And I'm seeing and dating you. And this is not a threat. I am not going to out you. I'm not going to run up to you on the street or the quad and try to stick my tongue in your mouth. But just know that when you date out gay guys, you are taking a little tiny step out of the closet. Because we don't live in fear and we don't live with secrets. And I may be your dirty little secret, but you are not my dirty little secret. If we continue to see each other, you are my boyfriend. And you will treat me like your boyfriend in public, where you will no longer have access to my cock and my ass and my time and my affection and my conversation and my empathy and my sympathy and my concern for you as a human being. Period. The end.
Hi, Dan. So my husband's been going to those Asian massage parlors and getting hand jobs. I caught him. He didn't tell me. The complicated thing is we have a newborn baby. She's 11 weeks old, totally adorable. And I'm doing everything. I'm totally exhausted all the time, and I do all the nights with her. And on the surface, you know, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, him getting yanked off by a stranger in a jogging suit. He says that they wear sweatpants. It kind of doesn't sound like that big of a deal. And the way he explained it to me is like getting a massage or getting a candy bar. There's, you know, obviously no emotional attachment here. Even though the ethics of those massage parlors seem kind of sketchy. I don't know what the deal is with the women who work there, if they're all, it's ethically run. I don't know. That's another topic. But the bigger deal for me is that I feel abandoned in this sea of newborn care that is really 24/7, totally exhausting. I could use help, but, you know, he gets all the sleep he wants every single night. And this is just kind of like adding that last little straw to rub in how he's going to go out and get some pleasure and some fun and sex with other women behind my back while I'm kind of slaving away here, a prisoner in my own home with this newborn. We moved to the opposite coast for his job. I'm away from all my family and friends, and it is more emotional than it seems on the surface. It seems like just this emotionless transaction when really there is an emotional aspect of it for me because of the fact that I have this little newborn. So I'm just curious what your thoughts are, and thank you.
So, Nancy, he gave her a baby. He obviously seems to be the breadwinner and is paying for everything because she's staying at home all the time. I don't understand what she's complaining about so much.
She gets to cook too. That's good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And she probably gets to do laundry.
She has a creative outlet in the cooking.
Oh yeah. She can express herself.
And doing laundry is a great way to burn those calories and get that pre-baby body back.
Yeah.
And if you do it by hand with a washboard, like your grandparents did.
Poor girl. Ain't right. Her life ain't right.
What?
Something ain't right.
What? Something ain't right?
Something ain't right.
Usually when Nancy says she wants to jump on a call with me, it means something very much is not right. And that is the case here. So Nancy, you wanted to field this one, so you go for it.
All right. So the thing that I wonder if she or he have considered is, this is a very pragmatic, simple thing. Breast pump. Get a breast pump, $200, something like that. How much did that hand job cost you? You get a breast pump, you pump out some of that good milk in the afternoon, you put it in the fridge, and then when little Junior is squalling up a storm, Dad wakes up, gets the milk out of the fridge, and takes care of those midnight feedings. And that's how the nice couples do it.
And this right now, they don't clear the nice couple bar. He doesn't clear the nice couple bar.
No, I'm afraid he does not.
The only bars he's clearing right now are entitled, shitty, lousy husband bars.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to have a little more compassion for her. And I feel so sorry for her having moved across the country. Like, she's in a bad place with having no support. That's a bad situation to be in.
I was going to recommend Le Geste Grand, or the grand gesture. I don't think that's actually the French for the grand gesture, but le geste grand, let's just call it that, that she take that infant and that she get on a plane and she fly home for a while.
That's what I thought too.
But obviously she's willing to put up with the, if you want to go get jacked off once in a while by a jack off pro, obviously she doesn't have a problem with that. It's the abandonment, the selfishness, the inconsideration that this is a one-way street. This, we're new parents and there's room and space in your life for pleasure and release and relaxation and no room in my life for pleasure and release and relaxation. He seems to think you're a wet nurse and his chattel. And you need to do something, le geste grand, that snaps that, that breaks that, that communicates to him that you will not live like this.
Yeah, it sounds. I think that's a great idea. She can go home for a few months and her family and friends can help with all that stuff, maybe. I don't know what kind of support she has at home, but yeah, I mean, maybe he's feeling sorry for himself because he's working and has a newborn. And having a newborn sucks. It's hard. It's just hard for both people.
It needs to be a relay race.
Yeah, yeah, he has to pitch in. He has to pitch it. Man, you have to pitch in.
You said man, she has to pitch it. Man, you were talking to him?
I'm talking to him. Okay. I call him man.
I wanted to be clear, you're talking to him, because now I'm going to talk to her really quickly. I want to kind of paraphrase something that Joan Price said on the show a while ago that I thought was so smart. It's better to be alone because you're alone than to be alone because you're with the wrong person. It's better to parent alone because you're a single parent than to parent alone because you're married to a shitty person who isn't holding up their end of the deal and making you feel terrible in the process and making you feel taken advantage of, because that's going to instill resentment, not just in the spouse who's being shitty to you, but also in the kid if you let it grow like the cancer that it obviously is. You need to root this out right the fuck now.
Yeah, and she needs to be really firm and communicative about this whole thing. And I think she's been really awesome about, you know, not freaking out about getting those hand jobs. She's like, that's fine, go do that.
And you might want to lead with that. You're never going to have a wife ever again in your life who wouldn't freak the fuck out and divorce your ass over the sneaking out to get hand jobs. A lot of women would have a huge problem with that. I ain't one of those women. I don't care who jacks you off. I hope tip the nice ladies and do your best to make sure you're not seeing anybody who's being trafficked. Please don't get arrested, whatever. But to expect me to do all the work, to expect me to do all the midnight feedings, to not help out, not cook, not clean, to treat me like shit. Probably more polite to the women who are jacking him off than he is to you, I would venture to guess. That I will not put up with. I will divorce your ass and I will take everything that I can on the way out if that's what you want. Because I'm not going to live like this for two more decades while we raise this kid together. And I'm certainly not going to have another one with you if this is the way things are going to be.
For once, we agree.
Usually when we record the show, Nancy is just sitting across from me, slowly shaking her head from side to side, giving me at once the stink eye and the side eye. And I warn her that she's going to hurt herself.
Wrong.
Doing that.
Wrong.
That's what Nancy says to me every day. She sometimes stands under my window of my house and just screams, wrong, Savage, wrong! And then runs off. She thinks I don't know that it's her, but I do.
Hey, Dan. 30-something-year-old woman, hetero, in a monogamous relationship. I have been with my partner for about 5.5 years, and we recently got engaged, and we've had a very, you know, wonderful, special relationship, and it started off with all sorts of courtship on his behalf, in the form of love letters and flowers delivered to me and really, really sweet things said. And we've kind of sustained that to a certain extent throughout our relationship, but it has fizzled in the past few years. And I don't know, that's not super important to me because we have a wonderful functional relationship. But I guess I always kind of thought that when I got engaged, that maybe I've watched too many rom-coms, but I always thought that I would get like a little speech or something. I was expecting him to tell me why he wanted to marry me and something about how much he loves me or something. And that didn't happen. It was really sweet. And, you know, we were in like a nice place and he got me a really beautiful ring, but I can't help continuing to think like that my engagement wasn't there. There was there was really no special moment there. I didn't really feel anything emotional in that moment. And I feel disappointed in that. And I don't know whether that's something that I can say to him and maybe ask, like, why that didn't happen. He basically was just like, hey, will you marry me? Anyway, I feel like I'm sounding like an insane princess as I say this out loud. But this is where I'm at, and you're the best. And if you want to yell at me, like, please do, because I'm probably being, like, horrible. Anyway, thanks, Dan.
Oh, man, I accidentally left the mic on. Dan?
Wait, what?
Oopsie.
You have feelings about this call, too?
Yes, I do. Okay, so I am not one of those sentimental types. I'm kind of like the boy in my relationship. I hate those romantic gestures, and I would rather gnaw my own leg out of a bear trap than watch a single Julia Roberts movie.
What about those YouTube flash mob proposal videos?
No, man.
If your husband had organized a flash mob to propose to you, you would have gnawed his leg off.
That actually would be kind of awesome.
Oh, wait, really?
Yeah, I like music. That's fine. Okay. No, but, you know, the flowery, girly stuff doesn't work for me. And the
just your glam?
The remembering of anniversaries, even. Like, I'm just not good at that stuff.
Oh, yeah, we're the same. Our anniversary comes and goes every year without Terry. Either of us remembering, and there's literally a poster on the wall in our bedroom from the night at the bar that we met. It was the bar's 5th anniversary. There's a poster framed in our bedroom on the wall of that party with the date that we met, and we walk by it every day. And yet we still miss her anniversary every year.
So Terry misses it too.
Yeah, we both do. We're
so
like,
that's
all right,
different.
Whatever.
It's bad when it's one person in the couple just is really longing for those, you know, I want the ring, I want the dress, I want you to send me flowers, all that stuff. That's hard when one of the couple isn't into it and the other is, which seems to be the case with this caller.
Well, it seems to me that she's faulting her boyfriend, who she seems to love, for not being demonstrative in a flowery, poetic way that she seems to think that she's entitled to experience once or twice in her life. The proposal, for instance, she said it was really nice and he got her a nice ring and he said, would you marry me? But he didn't then rattle off a half a dozen brand new sonnets that he wrote about how he feels about her.
He didn't break out the ukulele.
He didn't break out the ukulele. There was no flash mob.
Yeah. That's hard. She can't change her need for that. And so even though I think that stuff personally, it doesn't work for me and I don't care about that stuff, it wouldn't kill him to do that for her every now and again.
And it wouldn't kill her to tell him that that's what she needs,
yeah,
which is the missing piece, I suspect.
Yes.
Because part of usually when you talk with somebody who has this kind of need, they want the person to read their minds, to know they need it, to give it to them without asking for it. And asking for it somehow ruins it, but not getting it is worse in the end than asking for it. The feeling you get not getting it has to be worse than the feeling you would get asking for it and getting it. So you need to go to him, caller, and you need to say, there was a missing piece of that proposal, so we're going to do it again. We're going to try it again. And the missing piece is I need you to tell me why you want to marry me as opposed to some other woman passing by at that moment. I need to hear it. And you know what? Caller, I think he might like to hear it from you too. Sometimes you got to, like Gandhi never said, be the change you want to see in your partner. When's the last time you went off at him about how awesome he is and how much you love him? You know, if you're bringing the chocolates, if you're bringing the flowers and you're never getting the chocolates and flowers, you have a beef. If you're bringing the I love yous and you're awesome in all these ways and I couldn't live without you and you're never getting that in return, maybe then you have a beef. But to say it's all on the guy to make the romantic proposal, just like to say it's all on the guy to bring the chocolates and flowers and never to be brought the chocolates and flowers, I think that's kind of sexist.
And there's going to be a time when there's something that he wishes you were doing that you're not doing because it's just not intuitive for you. And you just got to figure out how to do that for him because that's
slipping
being
the finger
married
in during the blowjob, for instance.
Whatever it is.
Cupping the balls.
Sitting through the goddamn football game.
While you cup his balls.
Yeah, but caller's fiance, 1 year from now, got to remember that anniversary and you got to do something real nice for her. You just got to just fake it. Just pretend, do what you want.
Hi, Dan. My name is Catherine, and I'm calling for the woman who was asking about farting during sex. Not really an issue for a lot of guys, at least in my experience. They seem to not care about being, I don't know, inhibited by gas. It seems to not be that big of an issue. So if she can just let things go, that seems to be the best resolution for her issue.
This is in response to the woman who's got the now confident but increasing in size boyfriend on episode 531. As a certified, quote, fat dude, close quote, who's also approaching 40 and has lost 35 pounds, becoming less of a fat dude, let me just tell you that the fact that my wife has said, hey, dude, I love you, be who you are, but you don't want to die earlier just because the extra donut is there, is not a bad thing. I know about dealing with depression, needing to go to shrinks, getting comfortable with yourself and all that other stuff, but just cashing it in the context of, hey, man, that donut's good, food is okay, it's nice to eat nice things, but the choice between living an extra 15 years together or with whomever you're with or not is also part of that choice. So if you want to eat that donut, let's go run afterwards, or I don't do that, or maybe just one donut or two slices of pizza. You don't have to eat half of it because you're making choices that affect your longer life rather than just how you feel right now. And it feels really good to be 40 pounds lighter than I was when I was more of a fatty, but I'm still comfortable with who I am. So maybe think about it that way, that you can make it positive reinforcement to say, hey, man, one donut instead of three.
Hi, Dan. I just wanted to say thank you. I am a bisexual woman in my late 20s who's been married for several years to a man, so I'm very straight appearing and straight acting, and I struggled with whether or not to come out to my family and my loved ones. And recently I decided to be honest with them and to share that information. And it has enhanced my relationship with them. And it has changed how I feel about myself and how I interact with the world. And I just wanted to say thank you for making me feel like that was important, because I didn't realize how important it was to myself until I did it. And I'm happy to be an out and queer woman now. And it feels amazing. So, happy New Year, everyone.
And we're going to leave it there. 206-302-2064 is the number here at the Savage Lovecast. If you'd like to record a question or a comment for a future show, give us a buzz. 206-302-2064. Read my column, Savage Love, every week in the Isthmus in Madison, Wisconsin, and other newspapers all across the country. Hump, my amateur porn film festival, the 2017 festival, is now touring the country, kicking off January 11th in San Francisco, then going to Columbus, Pittsburgh, Eugene, Los Angeles, Albuquerque, Madison, Chicago, and more. Go to humpfilmfest.com for tickets and more information about Hump, the world's greatest amateur porn film festival. And be sure to subscribe to Blabbermouth, the Strangers Weekly politics podcast with me and Eli Sanders and Rich Smith and a rotating cast of other strangers. Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian and me and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy. We will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thanks for downloading.